today on Real Radio.
You can be poor in here or you can be rich in here. It doesn't matter. You can be absolutely messing up right now because your money's what you live for. Well, man, I'm poor. I only have a dollar. Yeah, but you think about it all the time and you rub that dollar and you'd frame it with gold trim around it. You're just as much as an idolater as somebody who's got $1 billion. If that concerns your heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you've joined us today here on Real Radio. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 11, we learned that God is not only the God of history, He's also the God of the future, always working towards our restoration. He knew of our need for a Messiah, and Isaiah told us that the Messiah would come from the branch of Jesse, and that the Holy Spirit will rest upon him. This means that the Messiah will have two birthrights. He'll be born from the seed of David, who is the son of Jesse, and he'll also have the Spirit of holiness. Both birthrights point to one Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in part 2, we'll continue in chapter 11, and see how Isaiah turns the eyes of the people of Israel towards the future salvation of God. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that many people today deny the fact that God has a son, or even that he sent his own son Jesus here to earth to be our Lord and Savior. Throughout the Bible, God announced himself to be the Savior of the world. Isaiah confirms this by calling him Lord, which means the one and only, all-sufficient, eternal God. And now continuing his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He expects every church that he is truly a part of and truly the focal point of worship to be doing. Not all churches that have 501c3s and a steeple and a cross is a church. You need to know that. If it's doctrinally accurate and spirit-filled and Christ is exalted, it's his church. But not all that claim church are in fact churches. It's tremendous. It gets to me more fun. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Every Jew that heard Jesus say that when he said it in Jerusalem understood he's talking about walking through the midst of the lampstands. Because that's the whole picture of Moses in the wilderness with God in the lampstands back then. And you know, we know exactly what the ancient menorah looked like. Did you know that, you guys? We don't have to speculate. We know exactly what it looked like because when you go to Rome, and that's not the only place where there's archaeological evidence of it, photos or selfies of it, how do we know? Because in antiquity, where there's archaeological discoveries, and there's a bunch of them, but Rome is the crowning glory because it's on, as we said recently in a message, it's on the temple, it's on the, not the temple, the Arch of Titus in Rome at the Forum. It shows you the carving of the menorah being carried from Jerusalem to Rome by Titus, Aspasian. And what's interesting, I don't have a picture of it. You can look it up later online. But the Temple Institute, many of us have seen it on our trip. They display it in Jerusalem. They have rebuilt, they have reconstructed the menorah for the temple that they want to build. And it is massive. And it looks just like the one. They use the pattern from the relief in Rome to rebuild their new one because it's exactly as it was. Jesus says, "I walk through the midst, and if you want to follow me, you've got to walk in the light. And if you don't walk in the light," he says, "you're not walking with me." In fact, I'll give you the verse for that. It's 1 John. Listen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. He's talking to believers, by the way. This is not to non-believers. 1 John's written to believers. So you can be a believer and not be walking with God and wind up getting hurt. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, Pastor, wait a minute. I thought I was, even if I'm not walking with God, what does that mean? Does that mean that all my past sins come back to me? No. No. As a Christian, your sins have been washed away by Jesus. This is not the sins that would take you to hell. This is written to Christians. The word here implies that God will not talk to you because fellowship has been broken. Why? Because your sins are not allowing you to, they're preventing you from walking in the light where he is. Are you with me, everybody? Listen, this is so beautiful. And I know there's some people that hate when I talk like this because they think, well, that's just too nice of God. Well, he knows how dumb we are. He says, walk with me and you'll walk in the light, because God can only walk in light because in him is no darkness. So walk with him, and if you walk with him, you'll be in the light and you have continuous fellowship with him. I like to put it this way. You have continuous revival with him. You're living in a state of revival when you're walking with him. You're in the light and you can talk to him and he talks to you. Look, you guys know this if you're a Christian. When you're not walking with the Lord, try praying. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, who put concrete on top of my house? You know that feeling? It's like your prayers go up and hit the ceiling and come back down. It's like, and then you ask him, Lord, is there something between us? And he might just say to you, yeah, here's what it is. I remember when you and I used to walk and talk a lot together. Oh God, I didn't rob any banks. I didn't shoot anybody. He's, Jack, we've moved way beyond all that stuff. I know you didn't shoot anybody. I know you didn't rob any banks. We've moved beyond that, Jack. Here's the deal. You and I used to walk together and have a good time together. I would talk to you. You would talk to me. You would share things with me. You've gotten so busy. And because that's where we used to be, you have receded, or you're not advancing. You're going back. And I'm over here, Jack, while you're pursuit of me, we walked here. And now you've receded? You've retracted? You've gone back? I'm still here. You took me, Jack, in your prayer and worship and time of loving on me, and you were so excited. You brought me to this point. It's like, go on, think about it. It's like, you know, you go out, husband and wife in love with each other, or maybe you're engaged or you're dating, you're in love, and you go to this place, you know, everything's perfect, the lighting and everything's wonderful, the music, it's just fantastic, candlelight. And everything's going great, and then all of a sudden, there's some blue light emanating from your cell phone. And you pick it up, and you go, I got to check on this. And then you go like this. Oh, can you hang on a second? You know what? Just forget it. The night is over. God's saying that. So you know what? We were doing great. And then, you know what, Jack? You started picking up your phone, or you started picking up your job, or your sports, or your thing, or your whatever. You see, it doesn't have to be bank robbing. It could be, look, I told you before, God will often tell me, Jack, put down your plants and your gardening. Because I love that. He loves gardening. Adam was a gardener. But see, I'm biblical. But here's the deal. Really, really great things that God gives us, when we start to have affection for those things more than God, they become evil. You can be poor in here or you can be rich in here. It doesn't matter. You can be absolutely messing up right now because your money's what you live for. Well, man, I'm poor. I only have a dollar. Yeah, but you think about it all the time and you rub that dollar and you frame it with gold trim around it. You're just as much as an idolater as somebody who's got $1 billion. If that concerns your heart. The amazing thing to me is that we, in our devotion to God, take God to a point. He'll meet us every step along the way because he's personal. And then we start to walk back on him and we leave him on that date alone. And he says, listen, Jack, you're now in sin. You're the one that brought me here and now you left me. Come back to me. Have a fervent heart for me again. Walk in the light and you'll have fellowship. And so that separation now causes us to not be connecting with God. In a sensitive, I mean this, I mean the word sensitive in the good way. We often misapply that word. Sensitive is usually a negative word. If your heart is tender toward the presence of God and your heart is supple to his imprint, when you get convicted by him that you were once closer, but you now in fact have backslidden, you don't sing to him, you don't love on him like you used to. And then he says, Jack, this is how it was with you and I. Your heart just, you're crushed. You just are devastated. And if you don't, listen, if you don't get encouragement at that moment, you get swallowed up in condemnation. The beautiful thing about the Lord is when he points these things out to us, it's not to condemn us, it's to get us back. Get us back to the table with the candlelight, you know, and the music playing. Now that was not in my notes, so that must have been for somebody here tonight, I'll tell you that. The Bible says on that day, by the way, that Jesus had been risen from the dead on Resurrection Day. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, you know the story, the two disciples are heading back to Emmaus. Jesus pulls up alongside them. It's quite an exciting part of chapter to read, chapter 24. Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Listen, my Jewish friends, Jesus is talking to two Jews and he's telling them, you should recognize me as the Messiah. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the Messiah of Israel is going to be rejected and suffer. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses, I think Jesus spoke to them about the menorah and a lot of other things. And all the prophets, he expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus used the Old Testament to these two Jewish believers that he was in fact the Messiah. And Isaiah is screaming in verse 2, this is the characteristics of the Savior of the world. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Yahweh. Isaiah chapter, we're going to go quick right now. Isaiah 42 verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. You guys all hear that? God, Yahweh, is exclusive. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Listen, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure this out. God is announcing by his name, Yahweh, Jehovah, I am the only one. Isaiah 42, 8 says, I don't share my glory with anybody. I'm alone God. So now you've got the God of the Bible and Isaiah the prophet speaking, and the God of the Bible is saying, the one that's coming is the Lord. But he just said he doesn't share his glory with anybody else. That's why Judeo-Christian teaching, and certainly, of course, Christian teaching is that we worship one God. I know Muslims tell us, you guys are polytheistic. We're not polytheistic. They just can't understand. They can't get it. They don't understand. You guys worship Jesus as God, the Holy Spirit as God, and Father as God. You have three gods. No, we don't. We have one God. He's one God. He manifests himself in three persons. It's not that hard to get. If three of you live at the same address, it's a pretty good explanation. You have one address with one name, Smith, and there's three Smiths living in the house. Papa Smith, Mama Smith, and Baby Smith. They all have the name Smith, but they all have three different personalities, but they're all Smiths under one roof. You get that? God's a person. He's trying to communicate a truth to us. The next verse, I want you to see under this, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord who rest upon him, is 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." He's the one Savior God, nobody else. Isaiah 45:21. "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord?" There's his name again, see it? "And there is no other God besides me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." I thought Jesus saves. You see? That's true, Jesus saves. Well, how many saviors do we have? One. I thought you just read here that God's the Savior. That's right. Romans 14:11. "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to" who? God. Oh, that's weak. Shall confess to who?
God.
Philippians 2:9. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." Oop. "Of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, the spirit realm, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." I thought every knee bows to God. That's right. That's exactly right. Final, we have to end right here. I can't believe this. It's ridiculous. Does it go as fast for you as it does for me?
Yes.
Some people are going, "No, it's, you're killing us." Look, we spent all these years in school. Remember the boring teachers we had and how brutal it was? Just to get a grade. Well, we're studying the Bible right now. Our faith is growing. We're getting ready for heaven. This is good. It's good. Besides, you go to a movie, you sit there for 3 hours, right? So we have 2 more hours officially. Final verse, Luke 3:21. Remember this, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." That's what we're talking about, right? Number one. In Luke 3:21, it says, "There, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form." Wow. Like a dove. It wasn't a dove. I know we've seen movies where a dove lands on Jesus. It was not a dove. "And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." This is my Jesus. This is your Jesus. What does this mean to us as we end for tonight in this? The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, but you think God really wrote the Bible, then you have got a conundrum before you. Because if you believe that God wrote the Bible, you've got God here announcing that the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. Him who? Him who is going to come from Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. You've got to find somebody in antiquity that is in the genealogical line to King David, who God says, my spirit of salvation is upon him. And oh, by the way, he's going to save, and the spirit of wisdom and might and of counsel and fear of the Lord, all these attributes that are reserved for God alone, is going to be wrapped up in a person who will be Israel's hope in the last days. Israel is about to have her eyes opened. Right now, she doesn't see this. She's going to. The cataclysmic events that are coming against Israel may come sooner than we all think. The Bible teaches that in one of those wars, when Israel is surrounded by Russia and Persia and Turkey, it says, and Ethiopia and Libya and these nations that have gathered about her to destroy her, an Islamic caliphate attack, it seems as though, with Russia involved, Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, Magog. The Bible says that that cataclysmic moment when God, it says that God's going to insert himself into that battle, that's going to be awesome. Can you imagine? What if, and we're ending. You can close your Bible, we're done. I mean it. In fact, you can stand. That's how done we are. Go ahead and stand. I promise. That's going to help me end. If you're standing, that's going to remember. Imagine someday you turn it on the TV. Oh my goodness, look, turn on CNN. Turn on Fox. Turn on NBC. There's a war. Oh, look, look. It's happening. And you're watching on TV. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 that when they go to launch their missiles and rockets against Israel, it says that God will arise. Oh. What's that going to be like? What's going to happen? We don't know. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. What's going to happen? Will it be like storm clouds? Will it be like a lightning coming out of nowhere? What would it be like? We don't know, but it says this. It says that when they launch their missiles, the projectiles, the word is projectile, Ezekiel said, those are arrows. It's interesting. The Hebrew word is simply projectile. In the 21st century, he'd call it a missile. It says, God says, I'm going to cause their projectiles to go up and land on them. Can you imagine? Ready? Ready? No more Jew, no more Jew. And can you imagine? It's going to come back. God says he's going to take it and knock it out of their hands and it's going to land back on them. And then it says, Israel will know that I am the Lord. That is going to be someday. That's going to be someday. Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you know this one we're talking about? If you don't know him, you need to know him now. You need to say to him right now in your heart, Lord, I want you. You who have been promised to mankind, the one who died on the cross and rose again from the grave, I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I yield my life to you. If you're making that decision tonight, we would love to meet you after service. There'll be pastors and Bibles up front here, and you grab a Bible and you go home, put on a pot of coffee, and you read that thing all night long. And you watch what happens to your life. God bless you guys as we close now in this song of worship together.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today, and when you allow the Spirit of God to be at work in your life, you'll experience new life. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, are you looking for more great teaching from Pastor Jack? Well, we've got lots of resources to choose from, and a good place to start is at our website. Let me give you that web address, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pastor Jack also has a YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, with over 300 videos on various biblical topics, and he's also got a Facebook page as well as his Facebook Live episodes called Happening Now, with new episodes happening throughout the year that include Q&A time. And by the way, even if you've missed some of our Real Radio episodes along the way, you can find them at our website. Here's the address again, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.